In this episode, discover how LinkedIn rock star Michaela Alexis grew her followers to over 156,000 people.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery.
Whoop, whoop. All right. This is going to be a very important episode. You know, as more and more businesses start leaning onto LinkedIn to learn and to discover, LinkedIn's really going through its second renaissance in the digital marketing and marketing world, but it's also a great way for you to be able to grow a following base, be able to inspire people, to have them learn about you. And it's like an ecosystem that there's tricks that you need to know in order to be able to dominate on LinkedIn. And few are better than this episode's guest, Michaela Alexis. She is a rock star in the space. She actually just finished recording the first LinkedIn learning course on LinkedIn pages for business. I'm going to extract some of that info. And you're also going to hear about what she does with videos and how she creates the written content on LinkedIn and then scrubs that content to identify in the comments common themes. And then she scripts out a new video around the topic. I ask her the biggest mistakes that people make, and also, we talk about things like creating a LinkedIn teaser post before you decide to create a full article. Plus, Michaela is going to talk with you about the value of asking your audience. And she's a non-believer in creating an editorial calendar. Now, that's interesting because after Michaela, the next episode is going to be Shay Rowbottom, and both of them are blowing up hardcore on LinkedIn, but Shay has an editorial calendar and Michaela doesn't. And so you're going to want to listen to both of them, because what I'm trying to do is bring you along the road as I have conversations with the best people in industry in a variety of different areas, right? So you're going to sit back, listen to this episode. And if you want to figure out how to select the right topics for your business, which is really where all this starts, you have to select the profitable topics in order to generate ROI so your business can grow. And for selecting the right topics, Wirebuzz created a topic selection worksheet that you can get access to at wirebuzz.com/topics. It is free to the listeners of the Toddcast. wirebuzz.com/topics is where you can get started. And if you want to discover how to guarantee that your videos consistently generate ROI, you know, return on investment, well, we created a 5-part web-based mini course featuring yours truly, where I walk you through the Wirebuzz secrets. And in 5 videos, and we kind of create them like Netflix bingeable content, where you watch the first one, we cliffhanger you into the second one, and then the third. And before you know it, you're already at the 5th video, and you've got my whole ROI mini course now in your brain. And if you want to get access to that, it's free again to the listeners of this Toddcast, wirebuzz.com/ROI, like return on investment, is where you go to get that. And I will now hand it off and we'll talk with Michaela Alexis. All right, let's get started talking about LinkedIn. You know, LinkedIn is without a doubt the most valuable platform for convincing and converting and starting new relationships with prospects. And who better for me to talk with than Michaela Alexis? Michaela is one of North America's most in-demand speakers on LinkedIn, and she just recorded the first LinkedIn learning courses on LinkedIn pages for business, and she also trains her clients to get better results. Michaela, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to talk about this. This is actually the first time I'm talking about LinkedIn in 2020.
Boom. Well, that's the goal. I always want to be first. I want to bring your information to my followers. And let's start at the very beginning, because I know that you had just recorded this course on LinkedIn pages.
Yeah.
And maybe it makes sense. First, I want you to give a little bit of your background, but then after that, I'm going to prompt you to differentiate between what is a LinkedIn page And how is that different than the one for ourselves, like our profile page, and eliminate some confusion? But how did you get started in your career, and what led you to be so dominant on LinkedIn?
Yeah, I feel kind of like my LinkedIn story is a little bit of a fairy tale. Mm-hmm. I have always, since I was younger, I've always been into writing. I've always loved writing. I mean, when I was 8 years old, I would enter essay writing competitions just for fun. I was a weirdo. And I got to a point, and I think that, you know, this could be a long conversation about education, but they kill a lot of dreams, right? And so when I started, the more advanced I got in terms of my education, the more I was told, that's not realistic. You'll never make any money as a writer. You'll never make any money as a creative. Do something different. And so I ended up going into university and went to films or into legal studies. And I think it was the day before I was supposed to take my LSATs. I just knew, like, it just came to me. I'm like, this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. So I ended up booking a flight to California, went out there, tried to discover myself while traveling, and came back and kind of fell into marketing. Mostly because I still had that creative side to me. I just didn't even know what marketing was, to be honest. I was just like, this seems really fun. Let me try these things. And it ended up working out. And the further I got in my career, the more I was like, something is missing. And so for some people, you know, maybe it's a husband or a baby. For me, it was, where is the passion? There's something that's calling me that I'm missing in my life. And when I was laid off right before my 30th birthday, I realized that that thing that I was missing was writing. I missed being able to pour my heart out onto a piece of paper or online and impact people. And so I started writing on LinkedIn. My first article went viral on LinkedIn in March 2016. It was called How I Landed My Dream Job in 2 Weeks on LinkedIn. And really, it was just kind of a summary of my experience as a job seeker. I had no intentions of it going viral. In fact, I was actually kind of annoyed when it did, because I'd spent so many years trying to do things a certain way, doing the pretty white papers, all of that stuff. And here's this thing where I ripped memes off the internet and it was quickly written. I think it took me half an hour to create, but there was something there, right? People were looking for those heartfelt kind of approaches to real life scenarios. And so that was really exciting for me, because I felt like I had found a place where I could start sharing more of my experiences. And I would say for the first year and a half on LinkedIn, I really had no clue what I was doing. I was always kind of taken aback that people cared about my experiences. But I learned as time went on that there was a gap in the market. People were looking for those experiences in the 9-to-5. We're kind of moving away from being able to log off and have a home life and all of those things to now everything is digital, right? We don't really have that same opportunity to just kind of log off. So the fact that I was talking about things that were heartfelt that people hadn't been talking about before really worked out well. So I've been doing that since 2016, growing my community since then. And over the past year, I've kind of made it a little bit of a shift, taking some of the lessons that I learned with personal branding and applying them to businesses. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of been a scientist over the last year, and just kind of researching different small businesses to try and figure out, crack the code on these LinkedIn pages and figure out how businesses can use them to grow their business.
All right. You gave me so much there that I'm going to unpack with you. I'm super excited about it. Wait, first I want to talk to you about passion. Mm-hmm. You had just mentioned that there was something missing and it was the passion. What I've discovered is passion overrides everything. Mm-hmm. And if you're passionate about your relationship, you'll put up with crap in the relationship and you'll work to make that relationship better. And relationships that don't have that passion end or mm-hmm. should end. Mm-hmm. And the same is true when you're trying to pursue a career. I mean, you have a passion to communicate with an audience mm-hmm. and to tell a story. And mm-hmm. and did people care about your story because you knew how to tell a story? Like, did that help?
I think that for me, I've been doing this, like I mentioned, since I was 8 years old. I was in all these speech writing competitions.
Right. So you're skilled.
It's just natural for me. My mom was a teacher. My brother is an award-winning author in Canada. So I've always grown up around writers.
You're that annoying family. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Kind of. So I don't know. I think more than that, I think, you know, storytelling is always a great skill to have. And the more that you can read and teach your kids how to write, the more that you're setting them up for success. But beyond that, it was the courage that I had from hitting rock bottom. So I had nothing to lose.
So you were vulnerable in it also, right?
Yeah, exactly. I was talking about a job interview that I'd gone to where the partners had split up and I'm in the middle of the interview. And when the partners come in, I had no idea because I was sent by an agency and she starts screaming, throwing her shoe at me. This is like a real life scenario. And I mean, maybe I'm also kind of a magnet for these like crazy
maybe.
So it's a mixture to me of vulnerability, authenticity, sharing real experiences, having crazy experiences, and also having that writing background.
All right. So this is cool to me because all of that has to happen, but you also have to be willing to be, like you mentioned earlier, a scientist. You have to be the scientist that looks at the data and determines what the audience is telling you or what the algorithm is telling you. And when I got started 21 years ago and is a digital marketer, my first web project went crazy viral, 36 million visitors a year on zero ad dollars. This is when organic virality actually existed. Mm. And so what I really was doing was looking at the data and the results, and all my decisions for what I was supposed to do next lives within that data, what the audience is telling me through their actions or inactions. And so you've been cracking the code on LinkedIn. Yeah. How much of cracking the code and being the scientist is knowing how to interpret the data or what your audience is telling you?
Oh my God, 100%. I swear for the first about year and a half on LinkedIn, it was terrifying because I did have a formula. I just was so nervous about saying or doing the wrong thing because I'm like, oh my gosh, this is working. Look at how many people are enjoying this. People like me. That I wasn't looking at, well, what is the formula here? What, like, get to the like kernel of it. What's the foundation here? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until, and I remember the day that I looked at it and I realized that the formula that I had for everything was the story. So the what. And then plus why it matters. So why that story was important to the reader, plus what to do next, which is a call to action. And that was the formula that I was using throughout all of my writing. That was the most empowering moment for me because it meant two things. Number one, that I could just chill, right? Once I had that foundation, I could just chill, just share my stories, know how to be able to share it so that it made sense to the person reading it. But number two, and more importantly, I could teach other people how to do what I was doing. And that to me was just so exciting.
Yeah, I love it. Plus, I love knowing your backstory now, that you come from a family of educators and in one way or another, and that you end up, right? But then you end up having the confidence to be able to educate other people because you've seen and been able to emulate people that did that for a living. And that's super cool because a lot of people don't have the confidence. Now, let's talk about this formula. The what, then the why it matters, and then the CTA, which we would all know is the call to action.
Yeah.
When you're creating your content, does your content follow the what, the why it matters, and the CTA?
Every single time. I mean, I've done different formats. I think it's really important to find a format that you're comfortable with. I think that I'm always very wary of people that say, this is the thing that you need to be doing, because that is not true. Number one, you need to be doing the thing that you enjoy doing.
Passion.
That is the most important part. If you are not a writer, do not create articles on LinkedIn. You will lose your mind, right? Yeah. So for me, from day one, I've always been a very visual person, but I'm also a writer. So it's always been text and photos. Now I do videos, but what I actually do with videos, and this is, I don't know if I've actually told anybody this. So what I do with videos is essentially I'll create an article or I create a piece of content, written content on LinkedIn. And then I look in the comment section to see which part of that post or that article is resonating with people. Okay. So I tally that up And anything that comes up again and again that's resonating with people, I take that text and I turn it into a script. And then that script becomes its own video. So I'm writing, but I'm performing the writing. And so that's just my method of doing things. It could be the opposite, right? You could create a video. If you're not a writer, you could create a video, post it, look at the comments, and then whatever part of the video is resonating with people, you turn that into a text post. So basically the opposite of what I just said. But I think that's a really great hack if you are not, I don't consider myself a video person. I do video because I understand the benefits of it. And I think it's valuable to be able to have that personal connection. And you just can't get that through writing. So I know that there are benefits to doing it, but I'm certainly a writer first.
Okay, good. Well, we all have our different communication styles. That's one of the beauties of choosing what passion area is going to help you achieve your goal and end desire the fastest. You look inside of the audience, you evaluate the audience, and then that you plan your next piece of content around that. So basically, just like I had said earlier, your decisions are in the data, and the data for you happens to be in the comment section. Beautiful.
And I think that, you know, the biggest mistake that I see people make, and I don't usually mention this, is the fact that they sit there, they create a vault of content because they think that they know their audience best. You know who knows your audience best? Your audience.
Yes.
Right? And so when I am working with clients, we don't talk about, okay, let's create a content calendar for the next month. Because we're still at the very beginning. So I can give him the person ideas. They can create ideas, but it doesn't mean that that's going to land with the audience, right? So I tell people, if you're just starting out, start small. Create that very first piece of content, something that you're really passionate about. And usually with clients, we just talk, right? And I can tell when I start talking to somebody and they mention a subject, they just light up. Right. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they light up and they start talking about them, I'm like, there's a piece of content that you're going to create. Because once you start creating content, you get that feedback, just like you mentioned, that's when it becomes so much easier. If you're just spending your time being like, okay, well, I think this might land. Listen, if you're going to spend, you know, an hour plus on a piece of content, test it first. When I was doing articles on LinkedIn, I would actually create a post teasing the article. And I don't know anybody else that does this, but I'm like, listen, I'm going to spend my Saturday writing this article. It better be worthwhile, right? You guys better like want this.
Right.
And so I would look at the response, and if the response was strong, then I would go ahead and create the article. If it wasn't, I would usually just kind of just be like, you know what? Never mind.
Water under the bridge.
Exactly. Or create a smaller piece of content. So either like a short video or a text and photo post, but I'm not going to create a full length article. So my advice is always to start small, look at the data, ask your audience. The amount of times, one of the best things that I do on my company page, it's really dorky, but I have this terribly photoshopped photo of myself as a genie. And I tell people, I'm like, here are all my ideas, my content ideas for the month ahead. Choose your top three and I will create that content. So those are like the checklist, the longer pieces of content. And then two things happen. Number one, people feel heard and understood. And that is crucial when you're trying to create trust with your audience. But they also get really, really excited because they see that I'm creating content directly for them. And it also makes my life easier, right? Because then I'm not wasting my time creating something that people don't necessarily want.
Okay. I love this. Like, I'm inspired, okay? Because I know what you're doing is, from a digital marketing strategy perspective, it is spot on. What I love about this is, and for everybody, circle back to what she had just mentioned. She mentioned that you can ask your audience. Don't be intimidated to ask your audience. This isn't television where you just put out your programming.
Yeah.
This is a two-way interaction. So use that to your advantage and ask your audience, here are 10 topics that I'm interested and passionate about. Which ones are you excited to get information on? And in doing so, you've taken the wisdom of the masses and you've pulled them together. Plus, you've rallied people behind you because now they're excited for that. And what I've discovered is choice always wins.
Yep.
Right? You can coerce people into this is what we're going to talk about this week. But if you allow people to choose, they will actually rally behind it And that's what you discovered. Good on you for that. I also heard you mention that you were talking about your clients and your clients want to do an editorial calendar. And the advice on not doing that is really, I think, unique, because what you're really asking people to do is instead be sensitive to feedback from your audience and allow that to be what you create next. Is that right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, I mean, really what it comes down to is a lot of the people that I'm working with are people like me and you. We run businesses.
Right.
But we don't have time to create 2 months worth of content that does zero for your business. I mean, LinkedIn is fun and it's exciting and it's nice to connect with people. But at the end of the day, if you are not generating business and new opportunities,
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, right? So with my clients, it's really about, let's be as strategic as possible. Let's slow down. And it also, what it does too, is it changes the culture a little bit so that they are starting to think a little bit more about, looking for information, not just online, but offline. So I asked them, I just had a call with a client yesterday and I said, okay, he's talking about one of his clients, like really opening up to him. And I'm like, awesome. I want you to go after this call, think about the process on that phone call that it took to get to that point. I'm sure that you didn't just pick up the phone and they said, you know, I'm going through a terrible divorce. Like, I don't know what to do, right? There were steps that they took. You know, they talked about the weather, they talked about pets, they talked about their kids, they talked about, you know, my client maybe talked about a hard time that they went through. That was, okay, now the client feels safe enough to talk about themselves. And so it requires people to start thinking more about just listening. And it seems like such a simple thing, but we're really bad at it. Let's be honest, we're really bad at listening to our audience. Or maybe it's just me.
No, I agree with you 100%. I look at this a lot like when I'm advising a client and we're helping them build out their strategy, I often look at this like when I give them guidance on how we're going to optimize the process by listening to audience feedback, I look at it a lot like a race car. A race car, they don't put on the track the day that it gets built or unwrapped from the factory. They run it around the track, and then what do? They listen. They listen by looking at the data or analyzing the data, and they discover the areas for optimization. The fuel doesn't go through quick enough, or that something wrong with tires. Like, I know nothing about cars. It's a horrible
analogy. I love the analogy. It's perfect.
Right? But race day happens months after they've already optimized micro-optimizations by listening to what's holding them back.
Yeah.
And so I notice a lot of clients have hesitation in that area because they're looking for the genie to give them the three wishes and to make it happen, but they're missing the most important part, which is the process of optimization.
Sure.
And you've already baked that in. Good on you for doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the good thing is I've gotten to a point where, yes, everything is a test, but there are some fundamentals. There's storytelling fundamentals that you can add to a post tomorrow that are, I'm 99% confident are going to generate more engagement for your business. So it's a combination, right? You need to be working with somebody that understands the process, that has already gone through all the testing that you're talking about, but also have that patience to be able to say, okay, this worked, this didn't work, or this worked better.
Right.
Let's double down on that.
Patience is the key word. Absolutely. And just like interacting with a child, you have to be patient enough to draw out the good information. Earlier, we teased the topic of LinkedIn pages and personal pages. Can you break down the difference? I know people have confusion around it. I hear it come up all the time.
Yes, there's so much confusion. Partially because LinkedIn profiles are sometimes called pages, and LinkedIn pages used to be called LinkedIn company pages, and then they changed it to LinkedIn pages last November or a year ago. Anyways, definitely some confusion with the name. So LinkedIn pages are for your business. A LinkedIn profile is for your personal brand. There's a couple difference between the two of them. Number one, LinkedIn profiles are for people. LinkedIn pages are for businesses. That's the most simple one. There's some reasons that you should have a LinkedIn page if you also have a personal brand. Listen, I get it. I mean, I have, you know, at the risk of sounding braggadocious, I have 156,000 followers on my LinkedIn profile. And so I understand that, yes, it is easier to reach people using your personal profile when it comes to company content. But this goes back to, are you serving your audience best that way? So for me, when I started working solo, I came across a huge issue, right? So I had a very big audience. And it was a mixed assortment of people. I had people that were following me because they wanted to see my journey. They thought I was goofy and silly, that I was entertaining. I then had people that were following me because they wanted LinkedIn tips and tricks and training. And then I had people that I have known since the beginning of my career that have no interest in either of those things. They just want to find out what I'm up to and maybe go grab coffee, right? Mm-hmm. I think most of us are kind of in that space. Most of us are not doing the same job that we did right out of school. We've pivoted in our career. So we have a lot of people that have no interest of ever buying from us, but they want to support us. So I started thinking to myself, okay, well, every single time I post something, whether it is about LinkedIn training or about a career milestone, I'm alienating part of my groups. And so I started thinking, okay, well, how can I separate this a little bit better so that I'm serving people in a nicer, cleaner way? And so for me, that became my LinkedIn page. So that almost became my funnel. So I use my LinkedIn personal brand or my personal profile as kind of like the honey to attract people. So that's where I share entertaining things. I share my career milestones. I share the behind the scenes so people can get to know me. That's my handshake, right? If I'm at a company event, that's my handshake with people. I bring them into my profile. So they take a peek around, they look at what I'm doing, they go down to my experience section, they see my company, they read the description of my company. Now they're clicking on my company name only if they're interested in LinkedIn training. Now that they've gone to my company name, now they see all the LinkedIn training. If that's interesting enough for them, they're gonna click on follow. So now they've raised their hand multiple times saying, I'm interested not only in you as a person, but the services that you offer.
Okay. As a optimizer, intuitively, I wouldn't like that approach. Yeah. I like the approach. Okay. But intuitively, my first reaction is too many steps, too many hurdles.
Yeah.
But what you've really done is you section people off in an elegant way. So when people do get to the page,
yeah,
then they're in the right area to learn how to purchase from you or get advice from you.
Yeah.
And so you use those two, which is really elegant. And then you can be more specific or more relevant on the pages than you 100%. Would be on. Okay, cool.
And I think a lot of people have this issue with their personal profile where they feel like I did, where it's like, ooh, I shouldn't talk about that program that I'm doing. I shouldn't talk about that webinar because not everybody cares about that. Well, I can, with full confidence on my company page, be sharing all that stuff.
Okay.
Then I can go ahead with those very crucial things, the new programs that I have, the webinars, the speaking engagements. Then I can share that from my company page onto my personal profile. And then if people are interested, they can go on and follow it. But it's really more of a funnel.
Yep. Okay, I like this. You know, right after this conversation, you and I have a mutual friend, Christy LaMagna, and I are doing a LinkedIn live event for event planners on how to get more of their sponsorship deals converted into yeses. And so it would seem like it would make sense that I would use my personal page to for everybody that I'm chatting with at the beginning, but then when I'm trying to interact with event planners, then I would send them to my Todd Hartley speaker page where I could give them information like that.
Yeah, and you know, with things that are relevant to both groups or could be, you can share that. So when I was first building my company page, I shared or I would post a lot of the company type content on my personal brand, but I would say in the post, listen, if you're interested in more training like this, I'm actually building and creating a space just for this content that you can go follow right here. So you can start using, especially in the beginning, your personal profile to just shout out the fact that you have a space specifically for those people.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And everybody likes things that are hyper relevant to them.
We all Listen, we're all out of time, right? So
yes.
Keeping that is the most precious resource. It's more important than money and all of those things. And so if I can save people time, and that's what I'm trying to do with my LinkedIn page, that's going to be rewarded at some point.
That's
and
beautiful.
That goes even into things like curating content. A lot of people curate content, but they do it really badly, right? They're just sharing content from elsewhere and they put no personal spin on it. Well, you're not really doing anything except spreading too much content that we have in the world, right?
Right. Guys, I think it's obvious for those that are listening, Michaela Alexis is a rock star in the LinkedIn world. If your business, if your personal brand needs guidance and strategy on how to optimize your path that you want to move people down, the customer journeys, or how to use LinkedIn for attracting more prospects to get into your funnel, Michaela would be a perfect person to get a hold of. Let me give you some contact information. You could find Michaela at, by the way, oh, here it is on my notes. Okay, good. I was like, I swear I wrote that. Get a hold of her at mickalexis.com. I'm going to spell that for you. It's mickalexis.com, mickalexis.com. Or you can find her, Michaela Alexis, all over LinkedIn. When do we get to get our hands on this course?
Oh, man. You know, so many people have asked me that. It really comes down to the publishing and also editing. So I just wrapped up the recording for the course in December. So it's going to be sometime in 2020. I'm hoping in the next few months. I'm really, really excited about it, especially for small to medium-sized business owners. I mean, this is going to be such a game changer.
Beautiful. Well, I'm going to keep a close eye on you. I'm going to check back in. I look forward to promoting it when it goes live. And on behalf of everybody that just listened to this, thank you for the knowledge bombs you just dropped so we can get to the next level. If you need help, reach out to Michaela. She will guide you to the promised land of LinkedIn so you can convince and convert at faster rates. Michaela, thank you so much for joining me.
You're so welcome. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, always fun talking with you. Thank you for your energy.
Bye.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All right. That was super cool talking with Michaela, one of my favorite people in the world of LinkedIn marketing. She is not only knowledgeable, but a really cool girl. And I'm so happy to be able to get to spend some time with her. Each and every time I do, I walk away with some golden nuggets, some knowledge bombs that I'm able to use to become a better marketer, to be able to engage people deeper on the LinkedIn platform. And if you want to figure out how to select the right topics for your business, remember, I've got a topic selection worksheet that'll help you make a vast majority of your smart decisions. Just right off the bat, you go through that worksheet and we're going to help you determine how to select the right topics for your business, and you can get access to it for free at wirebuzz.com/topics with an S. And if you want to guarantee that your videos generate ROI, return on investment, and you want to be a rock star in making sure you can do that for your business, the place to go is wirebuzz.com/ROI, like return on investment. And at that URL, wirebuzz.com/ROI, you just enter your info and each and every day you'll get the next video sent to you in your inbox. You can go through crush mode and start watching them, learning and discovering the tricks that we do here each and every day on our client videos. Now, remember, coming up after this episode, we will be releasing the episode with Shay Rowbottom, where we talk about video on LinkedIn. Remember, these things build off of each other. And for those of you that have been around for a while, we've basically created a master's class on how to become a video marketing master. I will be in Miami working with clients coming up in March. And then from there, Las Vegas. After Las Vegas, I will be in Chicago. And I look forward, if you need any help along the way, if you're stuck in the mud and don't know where to get started, if you need somebody to help develop your digital marketing strategy and then lay out the videos, which is the way I recommend doing it, because, you know, just like going to grandma's house when you were a kid and you piled into the car, parents already prepared everything you needed in order to get to grandma's house and make that a successful journey. It's the same thing with digital marketing. You got to map these things out. So the first thing that Wirebuzz does is we lay out smart digital strategies. In fact, last week here in the office, we had a brand manager from a $5 billion company that we're servicing that flew out here for the day. And the big nerd, Marcus Krieg, and I, and Jordan Harrell, and Susan Bailey, we all pulled into one room. And that's a good bulk of our strategy team. That may be like 4/8. Yeah, let's say 50% of our strategy team in the room, laying out what they need to do for their next event, what video assets they need. Also, they've got products. So what products need to be supported with videos? And often it's not one video that matters. It's not like a harpoon. You're just going to slay these people. Sometimes you have to do it with a couple of different videos. And the best way to do it is think Netflix. You want to bring people from video one if you've got multiple videos, and you want to hook them into video two. And then at the end of video two, you want to pull them into video three, just like Netflix encourages you to go and see the rest of the story, because they leave open loops of curiosity that your brain absolutely needs to figure out how this thing ends. But you can only do that if you start with a smart strategy at the beginning, because you can't plan the loops after. You can't hook people from episode one into episode two and then two into three if you don't plan how you're going to do that and plan all that content from the beginning. So if you need a smart digital marketing strategy that influences the video assets that you need and the web dev and the copywriting on the page, nobody in this world does it better than the Wirebuzz team. Feel free to reach out to us. Wirebuzz.com is how you get a hold of us, and we will continue to do our job, bring you the brightest minds in the world of digital marketing, tell you how they're using their tactics, and then also show you how to use video inside of those tactics so you can get optimal results. And it'll go down for real each and every episode right here at Video Marketing Mastery. Peace.